This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
It's my show anyway.
Fair enough.
I don't need Lou Mavs. I don't need Lou Mavs to do anything for me. There we go. Directed. All right, here we go. All right, we're live. Perfect. All right, let me do the intro. And we'll be right back. Actually, I got to figure out how to do this. We've been off for like a week or two, so I forget how to do it right now.
But we've been doing it for years. How could you forget that?
I do too many things all at once.
He's just buying Lou some more time here.
And that's what it is. Here it is. All right, be right back.
With your hosts, Greg Donald,
and Lou Mavs. Wow, it actually worked. I did give Lou time because now Lou is finally here.
Awesome. I knew there was something behind that.
there he is. There's that.
Hey guys, how you doing? There he is. Good to see you again.
You too, Lou. How you been, man?
just busy, you know. Podcasting with these fine chaps, Wayne are we live on YouTube
already?
We are
live because we might be. We are live. I said, forget Lou. Let's go.
Forget me.
Yeah.
I invited him on. You never forget me.
Last time I saw you, we were freezing in Poughkeepsie, New York outside. Well, at least
it was a rather cold day, and we were dealing with a different Wingding himself, Yngwie Malmsteen. But apparently he was a much nicer Wingding to you guys. And
he was a saint, man, compared to another guy. Oh,
yeah, we figured that out in the long run, for sure. He's like Santa Claus compared to
I'll
keep all comments to myself on that one, but okay, very cool.
Yeah, we'll talk offline soon, man.
We are here with Gordon and Steve from the band Images of Eden. So welcome to the show. Really glad to have you guys on.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I was actually checking out your cover of Here Comes the Sun the other day. Whose idea was it to cover that song?
Well, it was mine. It was kind of one of those things where we definitely weren't looking for a cover song to do.
Really?
Our mind was set on doing the next record and more touring and whatnot. But, it came to me from the whole disaster of our European tour that we did with Wasp for, you know, just three shows before we were kicked off.
Really? Okay.
That's kind of how the seed was planted in my head, funny enough, you know?
Hmm.
We were heartbroken, crushed over it, had to come home urgently, just stunned, not knowing what the heck happened. And just sitting in the middle of the night because my hours were so mixed up here from Europe and the U.S. hours. I was up at 2:30 in the morning, ready to go, just pretty much head in hands, miserable, heartbroken, just trying to find some positivity and looking up and seeing the sun finally rising a crest over the cactuses in my backyard and sitting there with my wife. And we were like, well, here comes the sun. It's a new day. Let's try to be positive and find a better way. Let's get over this and you'll feel better and time will pass. But I was like, wait a minute, here comes the sun and it was starting to ring in my head. I know we're not looking to do a cover, but here comes the sun. And all of a sudden, the whole vibe and the music and the metal style of the song came through me and like, oh, wow. And that's our MO. And that's our sign of resilience and positivity after going through the ringer, so to speak. So I got this in my head. I called Gordon. Gordon, I know we're all upset and everything's a mess right now, but I got an idea. It hit me like a ton of bricks. just hear me out, okay? Because I didn't know how he was going to take it, you know, to be honest with you. It was just one of another one of my crazy wild ideas that who knows if it will work or not, you know? But anyway, I told Gordon, and I really feel good about this one, man. I really feel good about it. I kind of hummed it out to him a little bit and told him what I was thinking, and he's like, he was real receptive to it. So time went on through the year of the 2023, and at Christmas time, just last Christmas, Gordon and I got together and like, all right, we're calmed down now, we're feeling better. Let's put a demo together and let's see what we got. And we kind of went from there, and I really think we hit a home run with it. So
yeah, very cool. Yeah, it came out pretty good. I love the original cover. When my son was born, I'm always playing him Beatles songs, and that was one of his songs that he always loved. I have to show him your cover because he'll remember it immediately.
I was going to say, better you pick that than Brand New Day by Sting. I think you picked a better song. Yeah.
You know, in a retaliation song from the tour that we're on, you think it would be some crazy death metal song with a lot of rage.
we
can make it subtle. Well,
you could have done Under the Sun.
You know it's true.
Black Sabbath.
Oh, that's a good one.
That
but hey,
pretty rad.
But you know what though? Here Comes the Sun beats 4 hours of Sun and Sweet in 24 every 24 hours. Anyway, so yeah, that right. Kind of, you know, that helped them.
But like I said, it was just something that we weren't looking for. It hit us like a ton of bricks when we were feeling the lowest we probably ever felt in our IOE careers, at least for me. And we just listened. We listened to our hearts and listened to the voice inside, and we just took off with it. So, and that's not to say we don't have a masterpiece of an album waiting. That's really our focus. But we wanted to do this. We wanted to show we're still there. We're still coming out swinging. We got up. We dusted ourselves off. We're not going anywhere. We're not quitting. We're not going to let somebody do that to us, you know, as it all was, you know, so.
Especially some dude that looks like Roseanne. You just right? can't let that shit right. get to you.
That's funny you say that. That's not the first time I heard that. But
it's a shame that Roseanne looks healthier than him at this point. I mean,
he really does, though. Like when they came out with that poster for the 40th anniversary tour, that picture they put, I said, my God, he looks like Roseanne, and she's been crying.
So you're saying if Roseanne and Robert Smith had a love child, essentially, is what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Oh man, that's
well,
sick.
All I know is that I would not wear spandex looking like that. Anywho. Yeah,
well, I had no idea that those that was a tie-in from that whole thing that happened with you and the band Wasp.
Yeah.
Do you want to just talk about that now? And that's
well, Wayne, my what? God, you get to the sex without the foreplay.
I don't care about that.
Later.
I just want
to
go in.
Well, you know, ironically, the song got released.
How are you married?
1 year from the day we were kicked off that tour.
Really?
1 year, and it just happened that way. I mean, we thought about it, like, well, that'd be cool if it kind of happened that way. And we turned it all in. Sony came back. Here's the date. Like, wow, there it goes. You know. So anyway, kind of ironic, you know, that happened, but very cool because commemorating the disaster. But we're also that we got up, dusted ourselves off, and here we are. We're coming back swinging.
Yeah, very cool. All right, cool. Slow the show down, Lou. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Just you know, come on. Well, before we get into all that again, I had the pleasure of meeting Gordon and Steve 3 years ago around this time when, I'll quickly say the story. Gordon asked if it was okay if he could post information regarding his band Images of Eden, their new album Angel Born on my Facebook profile. And I said, well, why don't I just have you on my show to talk about it? And from there, a friendship blossomed, and I met Steve in that same interview. And, you know, they're two of the coolest guys that I met that are in the music industry, i.e. signed to a label. And, you know, they've always been very supportive of me and what we do, Wayne and Greg. And, you know, I'm always happy to reciprocate it back for them. And I thought Angel Born was a killer record. I thought Soul Rise was a killer record. But in 2002, you released an EP called Weathered and Torn, which Gordon, I told you this when you asked me to write a review for it. I said, as much as I love those previous two LPs, I thought this was the best thing you had released up until this point. That's not a knock on the full lengths, but I felt like you guys told more with five songs than what most bands do with a full album. Mm. And I still feel that way. Now you mentioned to me that this is supposed to be part one of like a 2-volume set, where the second album was supposed to be a full length. I don't know if those plans have changed, but if you want to talk about whether Entorn would led up to it, and is it still on the radar to make it like a 2-part Images of Eden release?
You know, it's kind of funny. I remember when I said that, I think I had an idea of linking it to the next album, but I honestly, that was so long ago and so much has happened. And the actual next album is completely written. If you had a huge canvas, the whole thing's been penciled in. So, which is the hardest part to do. Once we get back from tour, we're going to start tracking that album. This album is the next album is going to be a natural evolution from Weathered and Torn. You know, it's kind of funny. I had a lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas that were going through my head during the Weathered and Torn era. And it's a little bit different than most of our releases, because Weathered and Torn was more of a reaction to the world and what we were put through with COVID and all that. And rather than something that I would consider just, you know, totally from the heart and completely just uninhibited inspiration, we specifically wrote that to be a little heavier. Number one, to kind of get us to Europe, hopefully, you know, trying to buy us a ticket to Europe, because, you know, Europe likes it a little heavier. But number two, you know, just kind of, I think we were all in just a really bad state of mind because we were coming out of COVID. And, you know, I know we all probably have different varying thoughts about what happened, but my opinion is I didn't trust anything the media was telling me. That thing was unleashed on us, and we were all victims. And just to have to put us through all that nonsense, and it just, I mean, there was a lot of rage that was in here. And when I listened to Weathered and Torn, you know, and this is, I mean, we've gotten great feedback on it, which is awesome. It kind of takes me back to that place I want to forget. But that place,
sorry, I brought it up.
No, but that place I want to forget produced something good. We're way beyond that now. I think, you know, as a world and as us as a band, and I mean, we've got a what I would believe is a really awesome evolution from that. Yeah. So I think kind of like a 1-2 punch was sort of a thought I had at the time. I honestly can't even remember what that was, but yeah, that's kind of where we are right now. No idea when it's going to be released, but after we get off the tour from, you know, with Soil, that is definitely the plan. But I mean, like I said, I mean, I do listen to Weathered and Torn, and I'm like, man, it's a little different than what we normally are, but it's heavier. But, you know, it's still, I mean, some of the songs on there are some of my favorites, like Count to Zero, specifically. I'm gonna keep rambling until
still. Yeah, it was a good snapshot of time for IOE. Yeah. That time, it's a good snapshot.
I would agree with that.
And Gordon, I ought to tell you, the video that we made for that Count to Zero. You know, he was the main actor in that video, and I was directing it, because we do everything in house. I mean, Gordon mixes the records.
I know what that's like, right, Wayne?
And that's and it works well. But Gordon did a fabulous job. I mean, Academy Award job doing that part, because he had to portray a character who was at the bottom and who found himself, who found, you know, a better way and got up and brushed himself up. And I've been using that a lot. But I have to say, it was a, you know, even the guy filming it, Christopher Sheffield, who's in Hollywood, who makes movies, is gave Gordon tons of props of how well he played that part. And I go, well, I'll tell you how come he played that part so well, because he relived that moment in his life and put it out there for everybody to see. So everybody can get a chance to learn and heal from a real organic story. I mean, so that was actually a true story in a way.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's funny that you say that, Steve, because I was just going to pop in, didn't mean to cut you off. But yeah, I mean, that was something I went through when I was 25. I was basically definitely 24 hours away from death, even probably sooner. And when we, you know, and I kicked it, you know, and I survived it. And when we were doing that filming, it wasn't much of a stretch to play that part, because all I had to do was go back there and hear. And it was kind of painful to do that to do that part. I mean, there were a couple moments, man, where it was a little. There's still about a 7 second clip of that video. Anytime I'm watching the video, I have to look away at this one specific part. I just can't even look, because if I look at myself and this one specific part, it's like I'm looking at me the way I was when I was 24, 25 years old and about to die. And it was just kind of, that person just was screaming for so much help. So it was kind of hard to see that part, but. Yeah, I mean, that was filming videos is one of the most fun things to do anyway, but that one was a little extra special.
But to put your personal life out there on the line for everybody,
it was, yeah,
for people to learn and grow from. I mean, that takes a big man to do that. You know, I'm just
well,
saying.
thank God you're still here. But on the bright side, though, from there came a tour, a very successful tour with Michael Schenker and Eric Martin of Mr. Big. Now, yeah. I was supposed to come see you guys in Jersey. I apologize, but unfortunately, being a
sick,
dad,
right?
What's that?
You were sick, right? Or no?
I was sick. Yeah. I have a child, and she got me sick, so blame her. He does not go on any Images of Eden's set list, but how did that tour work out for you guys?
That tour was really, really good. We got along with everybody really great. Eric Martin and his band were awesome. And Eric Martin, he's like hilarious. He's like a comedian all the way through the whole thing. You don't even know when to take him serious or not because he's constantly a comedian. So, but it was really, really fun. All the guys in Michael Schenker band were phenomenal people. You know, they
took
the time out to come hang with us and sit at the merch booth with us sometimes or make sure they watch our set. And it's kind of funny. Michael doesn't tour in the bus with the guys. He wants to drive his own car and hop along and make the drives himself, and stay in his own hotel room and meets the band there. And the band just tours in the bus. So
Greg and I have talked about this. We know he's a bit eccentric, but a genius nonetheless.
But ironically, we booked the same hotels that he booked. So we were like there at every hotel stop. And he kept looking at us like, are you guys like purposely booking your hotels to like stay at the same boat? But that was not the case, you know, but we didn't bother him. We left him alone, but we saw him every morning when we came down to the breakfast lobby, you know, and he was down there wandering around, get breakfast and find hot sauce. And he came up to me asking for Tabasco sauce and I tried to help him find some, but they didn't have any. So go figure. But anyway, he was a very good guy. Bam was totally cool. We had a great time. The only problem I had on that tour was their tour manager. He was a jerk, you know, that's all. So
seems to be a running theme.
I don't care if he hears it either, you know, but he had a lot of failures on that tour. He was almost fired by the agent on the tour just because he wasn't handling his business properly. So you know, we're all good guys and we get along with everybody, and he was good with us, but he had his modes where he just liked to disrespect people in public to make them feel powerful, you know? And, you know, we just didn't appreciate that. But, you know, we didn't make no sneak about it. We were just like, you're out of our circle. Goodbye.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like every tour that we've been on, there's more that so one that guy. One. There's always somebody who doesn't want you there and makes it obvious. And that time it was extremely obvious. I mean, you could tell he didn't want us there. He just wanted us to go away. And when somebody in the power on the tour doesn't want you there, they can easily make your life a little more difficult than it needs to be. So even though it felt like we were driving a two-wheel drive vehicle through the mud with the parking brake on, we got through it. You know, it didn't have to be as hard as it was, but I mean, if anything, it you know, I think it pushed us to really push through worst case scenarios. I mean, we made a lot of noise to each other before and after the shows to vent about what just happened at the pressure release valve.
Right. But,
you know, as long as we're always respectful and, you know, that's the way we are.
Yeah.
You know, bring it on, man. I don't care.
What was the reason why he wouldn't want you there, though?
You know, who knows? You know, sometimes, you know, certain people, I think it was sort of a leftover ego from the 80s. Certain people just, they look at the opening band as the one that's just sort of getting in the way.
Yeah,
you know, you're just getting in my way, you know.
You're the
third class citizen. You know, we don't want you here, but you got to be here and we're going to deal with you.
Yeah, the agent says you got to be here. Now I got to deal with it. And it's just that kind of cold shoulder.
So now you guys are my problem too. Yeah.
Yeah, but by that point, you guys weren't slouches. I mean, you had toured with Doro. You toured with Metal Church. You toured with Yngwie. twice. You toured with Sun Lord, and you know, I figured that and you're all established live performing musicians. So I figured by that point, it's just like, okay, we got this opening act, you know, but they know what they're doing. So let's just be professional about it. But,
yeah, well, you know, the tour manager doesn't know any about any of us or anything. You know, he just kind of gets the gig and comes out and manages the tours. But the band members of all those bands, total respect. We still keep in touch with the guys in Metal Church. Like, Step just messaged me today. He says, I love you, man. Just, you know, being cool.
You know, another thing too, Steve, and I know you'll agree with this statement too. A lot of the tour managers, they want the opening band to, quote, know their place. They want them to be just a middle of the road. You're just making noise just so we can get the real stars on.
Yeah, the contrast.
You
know,
they don't want you to bring your game.
Yeah, they don't want you to upstage the main band. So
no.
That's why bands like Faith No More, they like bring on this really terrible comedian. And he puts on the worst show ever. So
Patton Oswalt?
No. I like Patton Oswalt. Why do you hate everything that I like?
Why do you hate everything I like?
Because
that's bad. Why you guys make a good pair. You know?
I'm more entertained just sitting here listening to you guys, man.
But you guys are like Lou said, you're like top notch. You know, you're a good man. You don't deserve to be in the opening slot. You should be up higher. But you know,
a little defense to that. I mean. You know, we're older guys a little, you know, and then, you know, success hit us a little later in life with doing what we're doing right now. And so when we're the opening band, we're kind of, our ages are pretty similar to these other guys. Okay. And so we're no slouches. I mean, we're going to play, what we came to do. And so I think some of them are shocked by that when they bring in the opener. Okay. Yeah. They all sound good. But then when we get there, they see that we're their peers more so. They're like, oh, okay. And then the attitude changes just a little bit there. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying that might be the difference. I don't know.
No, that is a tale that's old as time because, you know, I mean, Greg, I'm sure you and I have both read the same Van Halen books. You've read Running with the Devil by Noel Monk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Noel was saying that on Van Halen's first American tour, they were opening for Journey and Ronnie Montrose, and Van Halen blew them off the stage every night. Mm-hmm. And the tour manager said, pipe it down. And what do they do? They did the opposite. They turned it up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, that was like when Maiden opened for Kiss in Europe in 80. You know, the members of Kiss weren't really upset about it. They were real cool with them, but they were doing Unmasked, and Maiden was behind the first album, and they were just blowing them out of there. And, you know, they'd come up through the Roundhouse and all that, and more people were there to see Maiden than Kiss. So the tour manager put a stop to that after about 8 shows.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Running Free or I Was Made for Loving You. I rest my case. Yeah. Now, now we can get into the situation where, again, I'm sorry to bring it up, but we all know that it's good, a year later. The NDA is over. So you guys get the opportunity to open for Wasp in Europe. Mm-hmm. Now, Gordon, you were already on a podcast recently. I just want to shout that podcast out real quick. Have it written here somewhere. Damn it. I have the name.
Good way to slow
it. Me and my lack of organization. Sorry. Okay. Can't find it. But anyways, though, but the funny thing is, though, it's like there have been all these stories about Blackie Lawless from musicians in the past. Like Lemmy of Motorhead one time, they went on tour with Wasp and they said that it was the worst experience of their life. Were there any warnings that you guys got about going on the tour before you signed on to it?
Well, look, Lou, and this is good therapy actually for us to talk about this because it takes the pissed off away. You know, it helps a little bit. But we all knew that he was an arrogant person, hard to work with, and we heard of some things in the past, but never anything of our nature of doing that to other bands per se. I was a big Wasp fan. You know, I felt like a fool when this all happened. I mean, I brought a little picture of him, Blackie, and myself when I was 16 years old. I went to go see him in concert, kind of changed my way of thought that that's what I want to do type of moment. You know, and I had this big story ready that I wanted to tell him. I already told the tour manager he knew that I wanted to have a moment with Blackie to talk to him and tell him about all this, thinking that, wow, I started there and I came full circle and now I'm on your tour with. It was kind of cool for me, man. I was excited. I brought my son with me so he can see that experience that I had when I was a kid. I was going to introduce him and all that stuff, man.
I met him at the Yngwie show. Very good kid.
So, dude, I felt so foolish. You know, when that happened, I felt like a fool, you know, and then even have my son to stand there and watch our dreams get crushed by that guy. But anyway, we knew, but here was the deal, you know, he's a born again Christian. That's the thing he's been saying. Well, okay, well, that's cool. Then everything should be cool then, right? I mean, yeah, he's a born again. Even the agent emailed us, Blackie just checked you guys out. I want to let you know that here's what he said. And he told me quote for quote. Blackie really likes you guys. He thinks you're very refreshing. He's glad you're on the tour. It's going to be refreshing for him to go out with such a good band on the tour, and he's happy to have us. And we're thinking, wow, okay, great. He's a born again Christian. Maybe that's true. He likes us. We should have no problem. Agent's great. The tour manager, you know, we were trying to communicate in the beginning, and you know, it was a little loose, but he just told me everything's going to be fine and work out. Just be here and do this and fine. Yeah, then we got there, and it was the coldest feeling you could ever imagine. Everybody would look down, they wouldn't even look at us. Just we're standing there like, okay, we're here. Traveled all the way from the US and arrived in Sweden, and here we are, ready to go. And it's just, oh, well, let me find somebody for you. And you know, then they you bring us in. Here's your dressing room. Is there any rules that we need to know? Just don't bother Blackie when you're back here. Don't bring any guests in your dressing room. Your set is this. You know, we had it all worked out. It's a 40-minute set. Okay, great. We're probably not going to hang a banner for you because we got our stage show set. We're not going to mess with it. Fine. There's your dressing room. We'll tell you when it's time to go set up. So, all that's fine. We went through all that. We played the show. About 30 minutes into it, they're side stage trying to stop the whole show. Trying to stop us from playing. We're in a sold-out arena in Sweden. Okay.
Night one.
Really?
Night one. When we just had the conversation, we have a 40-minute set. Well, the stage manager, get off, you're done, get off, and trying to pull the plug on us. And so we're just in between songs. So all my guys rush over to the side because they're all hassling my son, who's there helping me drum tech and being our stage manager and all in one guy, you know. It's all the help we had. But he's getting hassled over there hard. And so those guys go over and Gordon, you can take it up from there if you like.
Yeah,
Have to
I
talk.
mean, I kind of knew what was happening. I knew they were trying to pull us off, and unfortunately, that's kind of anytime you get more than the 30-minute set, people act like they never heard it before. What? No, you shouldn't be getting any more than a 30-minute set. So anyway, I was like, look, you know, I'm the agent. I don't want to get his name involved, so I'm not going to say his name. He's Blackie's agent, and he was also the agent that worked with our label. I said, look, he gave us a 40-minute set that was very specific. I look, they're starting the intro to the song. I got to go back out there. If there's a problem, please come talk to me afterwards. But I promise you, this is the deal. And then I went back out. We finished the set, and
Yeah,
I think
they
they
came back over to
apologized
the
to you.
side stage and told my son, oh, our bad, sorry, we were miscommunicating. Okay, cool. And so then the next night we went, what was it, Husqvarna, Sweden?
Husqvarna, yeah.
And the minute we were supposed to be an outdoor show, it was raining, so they moved it into the indoor venue. It was all fine. So they're all telling us, everybody's telling us, you're going on at 7:45 tonight, 7:45 all night long, 7:45. They even prop us up and get us ready to go. Okay, 7:45, get up on stage, go. We played, did our set, had a great show. We were warming up now. We come off stage, we got our asses handed to us because they said we went on too early. I mean, they just handed it to us. And we're like, you told us to go on. I don't understand here. So anyway, that was that. And they're like, you listen to me and you do what's in writing. And I'm like, well, where was it? There was nothing posted in our dressing room. Nothing. You told us verbally to go on stage.
Sounds like a member of U.S. Congress was the road agent. If you
That was the tour manager barking that out at us.
Oh, okay. So sorry. Tour manager.
We won't do it again, sir. Please tell us in writing what time you'd like us to start. That way there's no problems. Okay. So the third night.
Hold on. Steve, you forgot the before we even went on at the second night Husqvarna.
Oh, yeah. So before we went on the second night at Husqvarna Sweden, I'm kind of backstage getting ready to go about 10 minutes before showtime. And one of the stage crew for WAS comes up and nudges me in the ribs. Like, hey, man, the boss doesn't like it. The boss doesn't like it, you know, when his crowd cheers for the opening band. Like, okay, I thought you're just a poking joke. Okay, I'm like, all right, well, haha, you know, and I'm like getting ready to go on stage, and then he laughs and walks away. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we play that night, and okay, we did good, but then we got our asses handed to us for starting too early. Okay, so then we go to Oslo, Norway, and on the way to Norway, we got pulled over by the customs agents, and we must have looked suspicious. So they carted us off to some warehouse off-site. It's pouring down raining. They did the dog sniff on us all. They stripped out our whole van and dumped all of our luggage out in the warehouse. Everything. Suitcases, musical gear, you name it. Got through all that finally. We were good to go. And then after 3 hours of being detained there, we got to go. We got to Oslo, got our hotel. The next night we were going to play. We get there, everything's fine. We got a call sheet. We know our time. We have our meal backstage. We got our backstage area where everything's good. Had a great show. Crowd was awesome. It was like, okay, guys, we're on fire. This is great. And so a few of the guys retired. They went to the hotel. Gordon and I stayed and wanted to watch the WASP set, you know, just to catch it. So we're watching it, and one of our local crew guys that was helping us, he had a pass and everything, and he just ran up real quick and shot a couple pictures with his iPhone, you know, right up in front. And if you guys know, if you've seen Blackie Lawless on that tour, he's got that big monstrosity of a mic stand, like a spine skeleton thing with handlebars. It covers his face, and then he's got smoke and stuff that comes up and lights, and that's all to disguise something, okay? But so anyway, my guy got up there and snapped a couple shots right under him. Okay, thought nothing of it. He was up there for 30 seconds. He was up there with security, you know, no problem. You know, but the set was over, and I went backstage to grab my backpack, and Blackie came off stage, and we were 3 feet apart from each other, eye to eye. He was screaming bloody murder, and I can't even say the words that he said, but some of the words was, who was taking my picture? Who was taking my picture? He was screaming.
Perfect language for an evangelical, screaming. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh boy, this is not good, because I knew what he was talking about, that, you know, he saw one, you know, somebody, you know, take his picture. He didn't like that. So I grabbed my backpack, went out to the merch booth. And by the time I got out there, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys came out like CIA agents out of a black Suburban and just circled this guy, ripped his phone out, and started deleting everything on his phone. Then the tour manager comes over and says, you're off the tour. Give me your passes and get out now. And we're like, whoa. I mean, I was like, you got to be kidding me. He goes, get out now. You're off the tour. Blackie is pissed. Get out now before you make it worse. They started grabbing our shit because we were playing there the next night. We had 2 sold out shows in Oslo. We just did the first one. We tucked all of our stuff away. They were throwing our stuff out to the curb, literally midnight, throwing our stuff out to the curb. What are we supposed to do, man? We have all this merch made, all this gear rented, our van rented, our tour manager paid for all this stuff. And we have to just swallow it and go home, you know. So we bought it for 20. We didn't even sleep that night. It was a rough. We were head in hands. We didn't know what hit us. We just had the best show of our lives in Europe, and then all of a sudden our passes are taken away, and we're off the tour, and we're wondering what happened. Record labels calling me, agents calling me, people are calling. What is going on? I go, I don't know. One of our guys took a picture, and now we're kicked off the tour. Like, wow. Okay. So anyway, We tried to reason with him the next day. I called the tour manager. I say, you know, look, there's some rules given to me. We'll follow them. You know, I don't, we're in this deep, you know, financially and everything, you know, I mean, please, man, let's, if there's something wrong, we'll fix it. You know what I mean? It's like, nope, you're done. Goodbye. So that was that. I had to hang up the phone. We had to book emergency flights back home. Our other flights at the end of the tour, wherever, Bulgaria or wherever it was, Gordon, I don't even know where the end spot was.
Yeah, but Slovenia, I think.
Yeah, so we had to eat all those. They were non-refundable, and, you know, we had $7,000 to come out of our pockets just to buy tickets just so we can get home safely. And then we had to go home. Then we got home. We were heartbroken. We were miserable. We didn't know what happened. We didn't know what we were going to do. I mean, we were financially crushed. We were you know, strategy for going over there and touring Europe in that fashion was gone. We were stuck with all these shirts from Europe that we made. You know, that's where the song was born. Here Comes the Sun. I'm sitting on my back patio in misery and watching the sun come up and hearing those words, Here Comes the Sun. And it rang a bell and that whole feel of how the metal version of that song that I wanted to that come out of that came into me. And I called Gordon immediately and told him about it. It's another crazy idea I have. Please listen. And he did listen. And we eventually calmed down. And then we finally demoed the song around Christmas time and just got it recorded and released.
Wow. And the name of the show was the Crash Course Metal Show. That I wanted to give him a shout out.
That's it.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Trevor Knight and Crash Course. Absolutely, man. So, but you know, when we got home from where was it, Norway? I mean, we got home and it's just like Steve said, it's just like, now what? You know, and I remember we were getting bombarded with questions. What happened? What happened? I mean, are you guys okay? You know? And you know, some of them were, a lot of people want to know what happened, but a lot of people were really cool, like, is everything okay? Are you guys okay? So I was like, I have to go live and just kind of put everybody's mind at ease. And I'm just going to be very neutral with what I say. And I went live and I put the face on, you know, like everything's okay. Everything wasn't okay. But, you know, I mean, that nailed us. That knocked the wind out of us a little bit. Well, more than a little bit. But, you know, I just got on live and I said, look, as everybody's fine. You know, we made it home. Sometimes things happen. I can't talk the details yet. But when I can or when we can, we're going to make sure that we do. But just understand we're home. You know, thanks so much for your support. This is not going to knock us down. We're going to get up. We're going to brush ourselves off. And I said, you know, this, you know, we're going to work on our next album. And I promise you it's going to be our best release ever. I was just talking trash. I didn't know. But, you know, I had to say that. I had to kind of keep people's mind at ease. And then literally I went off the grid for about 3 months. I just was like, I'm just going to forget about things right now. I'm just going to reset. Do what I have to do at home. And at that point in time, I mean, we were very low. And I thought, you know what? I was telling my wife, I go, if Steve calls me and says, dude, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, I'd probably be like, oh, thank God.
Because that's where my head. Thinking about it, you know, I have to say, man, I was questioning, man, do I want to keep doing this, man? I mean, I love playing music. I love writing music. I love recording, playing for people, making people feel good. But the beating that no one understands, the beating that we take out there, even on a good day, you know, we take a lot of arrows. There's a lot of resistance because we're positive, you know, we're a little bit different, you know, we try to be positive in our music, but it's straight up metal and there's nothing wrong with that. Why does it have to be doom and gloom and you present with a problem with no solution? Well, we're going to present the problem because we went through the problem, but here's the solution and here's how we went forward with it. That's the difference. And so we believe in that, and that's what we do. But, you know, we get a lot of resistance because of that's what we do, I think.
And yeah, we go against the grain. We definitely go against the grain. And, you know,
it was nothing new. I mean, you know, to top that off, we came home and had a huge booking at the Hell in Heaven Festival in Mexico City, you know?
Oh, we failed to bring that up.
We had a Saturday night
booking. More good news, huh?
We had a Saturday night booking and all was well, and we went all the way to Mexico City.
Wayne, them and 29 other bands. Wait till you hear this.
Put us up in a nice place and everything, and picked us up in a van. All was starting to go okay, and then when we were sitting in a hotel, we noticed that we were off the whole poster, off altogether. And I'm like, whoa. So I called the guy. I just noticed you just released a new fresh poster, probably with the, and then we're off of it. What's going on? Oh no, it was a mistake. We're gonna fix it right now. Okay, fine. Whatever. So I went to bed and we got up the next morning. We went out and had some food. Next thing you know, the people who own the Airbnb that we stayed at are coming to tell us, you guys got to get out of here. We got other people coming to stay here. I'm like, no, they booked this for the for our whole time here. You know, we're playing this festival and we're yada, yada, yada. She goes, nope, nope, nope. So she gets the guy on the phone and they're arguing. This guy apparently is known for, you know, doing bad business, fraud, ripping people off, you know, getting you there and just getting you to the edge and leaving you hanging. That I just don't get it, guys, either. Mm. We went all the way down to Mexico City from all over the country, you know, practiced in Phoenix, went down there. So we were kicked out on the streets of Mexico City with all of our gear, all of our suitcases all day long, but nowhere to go.
Let me take it from there real quick. The funny thing was, I mean, this place we stayed was huge. I was taking a nap, and somebody's banging on my door, and I'm like, open the door. It's housekeeping. I go, no, I'm okay. Thank you very much. Close the door. Then a minute later, they're banging on my door again. I open the door, and then they hand me this phone. And that's when, you know, I guess, you know, if whoever it was said, you know, you guys have to get out of there. You know, they've only rented it for one night. And I was like, no, we're here for several nights. No, but it's here one night. I said, well, hold on a second. Let me see where everybody is. I was the only one there. Everybody took off to go eat somewhere. I was there by myself. I didn't know a word of Spanish and I had no cell reception. So I'm like, wow, what do I do here? And they're like, well, you better start packing everybody's stuff up because we've got, you know, the maid, you know, the housekeeping's got to get on this right away because the people are trying to get in here. So I said, let me give you a number. This, his name is Steve. Call him. Yeah, and you talk to him. And thanks. I'm thinking, man, I hope the vein in Steve's head doesn't pop, man.
Dude, it almost did, dude. Close. I can tell you what, man. Anyway, so
this is worse than Spinal Tap.
It's even better. So we're sitting on the streets all day long with our gear. And saving grace was the nice girl that he hired to have help him pick us up at the airport, whatnot. I thank God I got her info. I had her come and help me. She felt terrible about what everything's going on. So she came and picked us up in this van. We went and found our own hotel room because we were playing a show in like a bar
that night,
Mexico City that night, kind of as a warm-up pre-fest show. And we were playing the fest the next night. So we had to get ready to go play. We were standing out in the city streets all day long and we had to play a show that night still. So she comes and rescues us. We get a hotel. We go immediately to the venue, set up, play the show. Show was great. It was packed. They demanded an encore. They all loved us. So we took all those leftover European shirts we had that were all printed up that we couldn't use. We just gave them to everybody. We made sure everybody had a treat that night. You know what I mean? So it was a good way to get rid of them. They were junk to me, you know, but at least somebody got something. But then we went back to our hotel. They were supposed to pick us up to take us to the festival. Nobody picked us up to take us to the festival. It was 2 hours to get there. And we were hearing horror stories from the festival. People we know, like, dude, people are waiting in line. They still haven't let nobody in. Now they busted the gates down. They have no security. People are running wild. There's no bathrooms. There's no this, no security, no medical. Some band had a medical issue down there, and they had no way to help him. He got stuck down at the Mexican hospital, and they held him hostage because he didn't have enough money to pay his bill. You know, I don't know how that worked out. But anyhow, it was.
I hope he's alive.
Yeah, he is. He is. Okay. He has the kind of high altitude thing that happened, and it's
missing a kidney and
Wait, that's what I'm thinking.
But no, we were ready to go. We were like, dude, come and pick us up. We had a film crew set up to film us, playing in front of the big crowd, and it was just next thing you know, we're on a plane back home. It just couldn't happen. And we found out what it was. Lou, was it 29 plus other bands, I think, that happened to as well.
Something like that. I think it was like
Metal, 30. Including Metal Church, who we went and toured with. They actually talked to me before they flew there. It's like, the guys haven't sent our money, and they got us playing after Guns N' Roses, like at 1 a.m. I'm like, how is that going to work? Everybody's
that makes sense.
I mean, they said, screw it, and they didn't come either. So, you know. So,
but like, Slipknot was like the headliner of that act, right?
Yeah.
That was the last show they did with Jay Weinberg.
Not to go on because they didn't get paid.
Wait, Steve, repeat that again. What was that?
That Slipknot almost didn't go on because they didn't get paid. And they had an argument, and that's why the drummer quit after that day. That's where he quit. Really? Why he quit? They got in an argument.
Oh, that's funny.
Drummer wanted to play for free and just give him a free treat. And the band's like, no, we're playing and we get paid. That's our job. And it was one of those things, you know. Same with Halloween. Halloween was packing up, leaving until they ran over with the check. You know, that it was just poor, poor.
So what we learned from all this was, this is just what happens. And it does knock you down. But Steve, I think, you know, after Europe and after we stood back up from there, we had to kind of let go of a little bit of, you know, yeah, I'd almost say, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know,
it's
because
never gonna be perfect. We know that.
Yeah, nothing's going to be perfect. And to be able to go through Europe and then to go through Mexico, which I think Mexico was actually a bit of a success to some degree, you know, you're just like, you know, it's going to happen. You know, some things are going to really rule and some things are going to be garbage, but, and you know, that's like when I was saying earlier, you know, if you had said to me, man, I don't know if I can do it. There was a time where I would have been like, man, I'm happy about that because this is all too much. And it's just a mess. And I don't even know if it's worth it. But then later on, I thought about it. It's like, we don't let evil win.
Nope.
We will not let evil win.
Nope.
And evil, unfortunately, was at the helm of both of these situations, mm-hmm. regardless of what the people said they are. And we don't let that happen. You know, I mean, we're going to, you know, good is way more powerful than evil. And that's what we're going to do. I mean, we stand up for what's right. We stand up for what needs to be done and what needs to be said. And, you know, we have a positive message. I mean, we want to get out there and lift people up. I mean, like Steve was saying, I know that plays a little bit of a part in some of the resistance that we get. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you just have to kind of laugh and just rewatch Spinal Tap and feel better about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys have been doing this for a long time. Is this like the worst thing that's ever happened to you guys?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
These things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had a good track. You deserve this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At some point it had to happen.
Wow.
You know, just get it over with.
But like I said, you know, we didn't get to start doing this touring and putting regular albums out until late in our careers. You know, it's always been.
Damn, wait, if we ever tour Mexico, may you get Montezuma's revenge.
I'm
That's
kidding,
all I'm gonna
Lou.
Say.
They had a good streak with no problems. Come on, bound to happen. Well, but no, it sucks.
And I mean, really, too, you know, the Mexico thing you chalk up to. As whatever, but yeah. Still, yeah. The wash yeah. thing I feel is yeah. unexcusable. I mean, that's yeah. ridiculous.
Yeah, that's sure. totally ridiculous. I mean, if it didn't Ralph had a problem with him? Ralph Vieira, he did something with Black Lou. He took a video or a picture and then.
Yeah.
No, yeah, this was like back in whenever, right before Wasp stopped touring the United States, they made one tour around the States and they played Florida and Ralph brought his video camera in and Ralph was called out by Blackie.
Okay.
From the stage, you know, getting F-bomb dropped and being called an a-hole and this and that. And looking at our friend Ralph Vieira from Thrasher Dying Combat, who also does the Rock and Metal Combat podcast, he okay. actually posted that video on his YouTube page.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting. And I'll say there's a band that toured with him in Europe like in 2017 and our legal team had to talk to them too, because it happened to them too after four shows. I even forget their band name, but it doesn't matter. But I contacted them and they actually talked to me. I'm like, well, what happened? He goes, well, dude, and this is pretty much what y'all think. It's like, they just make up rules as you go. And, yeah. you know, and if they don't want you there, they get rid of you, you know? So,
yeah.
But you guys don't even know half the fraud that guy commits, and I can't talk about that part, but
well,
know.
we have all
Greg
the time
and
in the world.
We've already kind of know with the way Chris yeah. Holmes was treated, and
I didn't exactly get kicked out of that show on that same tour Ralph went to in Jersey because I wasn't heckling him because he was being an ass on stage. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's pretty well known.
Yeah, it is, mm-hmm. But
it'd be nice to see him eat his pride and give you an apology. I doubt he'll do that, but I'm glad you were guys to able to rise above it, though. And it's awesome that cover came out of it. That's
yeah.
Thanks, man.
And screw that New York Dolls Kiss reject. Okay, yeah, there I said right? it. You guys don't have to say it. I'll say it for you.
Thank you.
Now, do you look at Wasp's music a different way now because all this shit happened, or
yeah,
is it just?
I absolutely hate it now. I do. I mean, I was a huge Wasp.
Yeah, I would think
guys.
So.
I mean,
too,
I really. Was the kid there that took my mom's bed sheet, and made a big banner, and I was in the crowd, and I was up front and took a picture. Yeah. skip school to meet him and sound check. I did all that and had that story for him. And, you know, wow, what, how foolish is that, you know? And, you know, people always say you never want to meet, you know,
your idols.
That's a big disappointment, yeah. But not to say that he was my idol. It was when I was young. I mean, went away and I was, you know, I don't idolize anyone, but yeah, that it was just poor, you know, it's just any human being that would just, you know, treat somebody that way is just poor. You know, that's
definitely.
But he's definitely a fraudulent person because there's, you know, he gets his money, he runs, he hides, he does, you know, he cancels shows and still gets paid and, you know, because he's just a fraudulent dude and he knows he's going to cancel. He makes sure that little clause is in there that, you know, regardless if I come and I cancel, I'm going to get paid full price. And that's why those promoters don't want to touch it, man, because even on our tour, he canceled like 4 or 5 dates because his back was hurting. You know?
Was there ever like an NDA that you guys had to sign after? Yep. No?
No.
So it was just a matter of letting things die down like a year later. Yes. Okay.
I mean, look, we went after him legally, you know, and I could say that. And he's still going to have some answering to do. Okay. But I'm letting it go. I'm not going to a litigation, okay, where it's going to cost us $50,000+ to prove this. I'm not going to put our families through that. We don't need to do that for him. He's washed up. But we're going to – he had to hire a lawyer, you know, on the most inconvenient times during the holidays to defend himself. So you know what? He knows my name. He knows my name. Steve Dorsum at the Images of Eden. He knows my name. And so, you know, my lawyer's finishing up with him and we're just going to be done with it now, you know, so that's all.
And you want to talk about something happening for a reason. I forget who said it earlier. You know, if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't have gotten the single. And I think with that being said, we're going back to Europe for what we're calling our 2024 redemption tour. And we're going with Soil. And we know we're getting taken care of now. We're going to be sharing a tour bus. Tim King from Soil is the VP of our label. We're like this. And so he even said, I can't wait. You know, he's taking us under their wing, bringing us into their house and making sure that we're going to be taken care of. We get a nice long set, 50-minute set most of the time. And we're really going to be able to play Germany. We play Netherlands. Switzerland. I think at the end of the day, Steve, and I think you'll agree with this, it's going to be a better tour this year than what would have happened last year had we stayed on the tour. Like Steve was saying, Blackie had massive back problems. He was flying back and forth to, I don't know if it was Munich or Berlin, to get these epidurals just to see he could get through a few shows. I mean, they canceled Milan, Italy. They canceled Zurich. They canceled like 4 or 5 shows. We'd have been sitting around for you know, at least 5 days, if not more than that. And, you know, we had a couple of bumps in the tour anyway. So Steve and I had a little bit of reservation on reservations about a few things that we could talk to you offline about, but I don't want to say that here. But yeah, at the end of the day, man, I think we're going to be much better this year with Soil. And you know, you're actually on a tour with somebody who really wants you there, who respects you, you know, and you know, we were molded from the same.
Well, I mean, Soil's a band that's got credibility. I mean, you know, they're Ozfest alumni. You know, they had a big radio hit 24 years ago with Halo, which I remember when I was a college radio DJ. Actually, they were serviced to me by a mutual friend of ours, Munzee Ritchie. Shout out to Munzee.
Munzee.
Just talked to him yesterday, actually. That's funny.
I just talked to him today. Apparently, not to boast, but our band Severed Angel,
yes,
number 2 most added at Loud Rock Radio this week on Metal Contraband. Dude. So good, thank you, Munzee.
Awesome, brother.
Right on. Cool. He'll work it for you.
Munzee's great, man.
Yeah, he's doing great. A good job so far. So
he's one of a kind.
Yeah, love that guy.
Wow.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, man. But we'll see what happens. That's what we've got planned. So it should be quite a year, man. We go back to Europe with a brand new guitar player.
I'm sorry about Carlos, but
this is much. We're in a much better place in many ways. I'll leave it at that. Yes,
we'll talk about that.
Much better place.
Sorry, not sorry.
No. I'm glad you said that because I've wanted to say that for a long time. I'm very happy with how things turned out.
But Carlos was a good dude, a great musician, and just his heart changed. That's all, and he decided he wanted to go on to other things. So we have no choice but to keep moving. You know, so that's what we're doing.
what Steve said. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. All right.
but yeah, our new guitar player is an awesome guy, man. He's a great player. He's high energy. He's great energy. He's everything that he checks all the boxes and then some. And I can't wait to bring him on tour and really share the stage with him. And so, yeah. And then after that, we're working on the 7th album.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for that. I mean,
which is a great exercise for Jeff too, you know, like doing the single is his first time recording with us. So he kind of gets a good feel of what we're doing and how we do things. Recording and
killer tone on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then going on this tour too is going to give him a good taste of the tour life and stage life with us. And then we're going to come home, like Gordon said, and crank out this masterpiece of an album. What's going to be one of the best ever, of course, but
we do feel this way about the next one. I mean, it's, you know, I one thing that we continuously try to do with every album, we try to push ourselves beyond what we were on the previous. For the first three albums, that was very easy. And then we kind of reformed for Soul Rise. Soul Rise was a jump from Rebuilding the Ruins. We pushed ourselves even further with Angel Born. I think we continue to improve. You know, we push.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not improving, you know, it's just, then what are you doing? Right, I always want to say, what can we do differently? What can we do that's new and fresh? What curveball can we throw at somebody? Mm-hmm. And this one is, I think this one lyrically is a massive leap forward.
Yes, I would say so. I heard them all. But, yep.
Yeah, but musically, it's definitely it's an evolution. And I think if the the puzzle pieces fit the way I think they're going to fit, this is going to be by far our best record. And I don't like to speak too prematurely, but I think I can this time because, like I said, the picture's already drawn. We just have to slap the paint on it, and then we're good.
I'm excited to hear it. Like, Gordon, absolutely, you just celebrated 25 years with your wife yesterday, I believe. Congratulations.
Thank you, bro. 24 years. But yeah, I mean, 24. I didn't think I was going to live that long when I was like 19, you know? So that's pretty. Yeah, man. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you saying something.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, man.
All right. Now shut me up, somebody. Someone else has a question.
Well, because if people don't know, what happened to you when you were younger? What happened?
Oh, to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of give you a long-winded answer. We, Images of Eden, we're kind of a band of survivors in a lot of ways, whether it's addiction, abuse, PTSD, mental illness, loss, something like that. Of the core guys and, extended, every one of us has been through something. And my thing was, I was, massive alcoholic to the point where I'd wake up in the morning shaking and I'd need to drink. Mm. I weighed about 150 pounds just before I quit. I just turned 25 years old. And then I'm 51 now. But I remember waking up one day and just saying, I can't do this anymore. And I didn't drink. My body went into full-blown detox. My blood pressure shot up through the roof. It was 213 over 186. That was my blood pressure. And a friend of mine and his fiance took me to the hospital. And as soon as they took my blood pressure, they admitted me immediately and started, doping me up with blood pressure meds. And they said, literally at any given time, I could have blown something and been dead. But they said, if I had waited and I didn't come in, I would have been dead in 24 hours because my blood pressure was continuing to rise. Wow. And it was to that point where it was like at any second, anything could have happened. So if I didn't come in, something would have happened. So yeah, wow, man, it was real.
Yeah, it was so, good thing.
But
the
thing was, when I was in that hospital bed after they were doping me up, and it was about a half an hour, and then I was just sort of numb, and I heard something. It was as real as could be. It's like the biggest weight fell off, and I the words that I heard in my head were, "I'm taking this addiction away from you, and it will never return. You don't have to lie anymore. You don't have to cover up anymore. Your life starts over today." And I felt this massive weight drop, and I never went to AA and I never did anything. I stayed in that hospital for 3 days while they wrung me out, and I walked out of there and I never took another drink and I never looked back.
Wow.
And that's kind of where my faith really kicked in. And, like I said, I don't preach it, but I just live what he gives me. And
Lou, that's the song, "The Dead Me" on Weathered and Torn, is kind of that story about Gordon.
Yeah.
Well, it's, I mean, it also provides a whole new context to Count to Zero almost as well. So
yeah,
absolutely.
The visual version of Count to Zero, and then the whole lyrical content of the dead me. And Gordon tells everybody live too on stage, man. And you don't know how many people light up and are so glad that he said something, that he had the guts to say something like that up there, that, hey man, I'm a survivor. And in one of our shows, it was the anniversary. Tonight is, you know, 25 years, you know, and
Virginia. Yep.
Yeah. Everybody applauds and so proud of him, and he sings the song. And yeah, it does give you a whole nother context by knowing that. And you're listening to that. You go, yeah, I get that now. I get that.
Yeah.
In almost every single show, there is somebody there that night that's been on the fence or struggling. And I even invite them. I say, look, is anybody here struggling? And sometimes hands will just go up, and I say, talk to somebody with a hand up, or is there anybody who has won, you know, addiction, or, you know, won the battle, and hands go up. I say, talk to one of them, or I say, you come talk to me after the show. I'll be at the merch booth. And then sure enough, just about every night, somebody comes up to me, thanks me for saying what I said, and tells me their story. And, you know, I mean, if you can just get that one person to stop, then they can help somebody, and they can help somebody, and just try to pay it forward and spread it.
Be somebody's hero. I remember that.
Yeah. The end of if. Yeah, exactly. Be somebody's hero. Do it today. Change the
Gordon, life. Let me just tell you something. And I don't like to blow smoke up any of our guests' ass anytime they come on the show. But for me, it's like, you know, I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad I met you. I'm glad you're my friend. And, you know, thank you, both you guys, for Angel Born and Weathered and Torn, because for me, it was inspirational to get back to my writing. And it was just as inspirational for me to help cope with my mother's loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just wanted to thank you guys in person for that.
You got Lou, it. Those words right there, because sometimes we wonder if it's all worth it, you know. That's why we do what we do, because exactly. of you and what you yep. said right here, brother, up to the camera. Come on.
There we go.
You know, we love you, buddy. You know,
absolutely, guys, too. Man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry for your loss, brother, but yeah, I'm glad we could be there and lift in some sort of way, man. So that's huge for us, for you to say, man. And thank you so much, brother.
Of course.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you very much, guys, for coming on the show and telling us absolutely. That whole thing. And
we could probably yak for hours.
But no, that's what we like, because I didn't have to do anything on the show. You guys just talk, so that's perfect.
We're good for that. You know, if you ever need to kill some time, just call us. You know,
yeah. lit up a big fat Cuban over here and be like, okay, there's still going.
Yeah. Now, ate a turkey pot pie and came back, and I'm still talking.
No pot pie.
But it just sucks that all that shit happened. But you know what? You guys been doing this for so long, you can't let that bother you, and you got a lot of shit coming up next year. And
good times ahead here coming real quick.
Exactly. So just put all that shit behind you, and everything's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Exactly, man. That's what we do, and this is what we live for, man. Writing, playing, and talking about it.
Yeah. And now that everybody's kind of hearing the story of, you know, how that single that we just did came upon himself, you know, just like the dead me, Lou, I'm telling you that Gordon story, and it puts a whole nother context. It'll put a whole nother context on that song, you know, and I hope everybody likes it. It means a lot to us. We got a lot of great things coming up this year, and probably a lot of opportunities that we don't even know about yet. So, man.
Just before we leave, I want to say one more thing. Going.
Oh, I love it when he does this, Steve. He does this all the time.
I just shut up. Okay, go.
No, I don't need to cut y'all. But I just want to say, man, thank you guys for having us, because the reality is this, man. You guys give us a platform. You are our allies in all of this. And, you know, without you, without our press guys, without our radio guys, we wouldn't have the platform to put our music out there. This is what we love. This is what we're all about. So thank you guys. We hold you very deep. Very close right here for allowing us to come onto your show and to say what we need to say, man. So we love you guys and thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
No problem. Anytime.
Imagesofeden.com.
That's right. Imagesofeden.com. One stop shop. It'll take you everywhere.
Everywhere. All right. Anything else? Greg, you got anything else? You didn't talk too much. You good? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Although I did want to ask them, did you guys do a tour somewhere down in Virginia around 2006, 2007?
No.
I think Gordon would have been the only member of the band at that point.
Unless Gordon.
It's 6 or 7. Wait a minute. We were supposed to play a show in Richmond and around there, but it didn't happen. But, you know, we were generally in the Baltimore area.
Okay, maybe it was up in Baltimore there. I swear I saw you guys, or well, it would have been just you and the band at the time, somewhere around that time.
Do you know where you might have seen it?
Sunlight of Our Spirit, maybe? Was that
Sunlight of the Spirit? Yeah, that was that was probably okay. Yeah, that was true.
Probably did.
Yep.
Oh man, I can't remember the name of the place in Baltimore. It was down by the Inner Harbor, though. What's that?
Thunderdome.
Yep, that's it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
we played down there.
So, you saw them back then, Greg?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was the same band or not.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let me ask you, were we a three piece at the time?
Yes. Yes, you were. Yep.
I was playing bass, singing, and I had a keyboard in front
of
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you have any video of this by any chance?
I do, actually. I do have some video.
All right. Oh, man. Small world.
That's pretty cool, show. Greg.
Good to hear that, man.
Wait. So Gordon was Geddy Lee at one point? Gordon Lee over here?
Apparently so.
Yeah. They kicked right in with Subdivisions, man. Well, it was awesome.
Bring it down about
Gordon
here.
Was on fire.
By the way, Gordon, a blast from your past, George Dimitri of Taz.
I knew it. George Dimitri. He's playing with you guys.
He's our bassist.
Unfortunately,
that is so cool.
Oh,
man.
Shut up,
man. Yep.
And he said he was in Alive and Kicking in 2006, also in the Baltimore area. Down in Brooklyn Park area.
I almost auditioned for those guys. That when they, because I wanted to get into something on the side, and I just didn't have enough time to do it. But he was a really good dude. Yeah.
He still
I'm glad
is.
He's. No, that's awesome, man. Tell him I said hello, man. That's very cool.
Definitely will. I actually just helped him with his 80s band, Taz. I did their lyric videos because they just got their demos released on Heaven and Hell Records. So,
oh, cool.
Very cool.
It's a very big year for all of us musically.
Yeah, it is, man.
Yeah. Finally, right?
So. Exactly.
And I was telling before we started the show, I was telling Gordon, like, I've known of Images even for a very long time, back when Phoenix Rain was, still playing and stuff like that. And he remembered Teresa from the band and everything. So
Teresa Gaffney. Yep.
Yeah.
How?
Because of Matt, what's his name? Matthew Banks, right?
Matt Bankus, yeah. Uh-huh.
In Pennsylvania.
Oh, dude, it's like there's only like five ways we're all connected over here.
Yeah. This is very strange.
Small world. Small
we were
world.
All meant to be together tonight.
Absolutely.
Hello, Kid Kitty.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, like the moment I saw that, you did the Crash Course metal show, and I was like, Gordon, platform's always open. And Wayne and Greg were just like, bring them on. And
great.
It worked out. The stars were aligned.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. We love when we have guests on the show. I'm tired of talking about the Kiss albums for a while. I think we're done with that.
I love Kiss.
There's always seven episodes, too, Wayne. Oh, yeah. like you doing the Halloween, one episode.
Yeah, we
per
did
album.
That quick. We did that fast, though. All right.
Yeah, we did five episodes a night.
Yeah, it was fun. Fun times. All right, guys. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah,
like I said,
thank you.
Yep. Hopefully,
you got it.
Yeah,
so appreciate you guys, man.
Yep. Hopefully, everything works out next year and a new album comes out. And it's all up. Looking upward for you guys.
Perfect.
We'll keep you posted, man.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, you guys come on when it comes out too. We'll talk about it then too.
Would love
absolutely.
To. Yeah, you guys are a lot of fun, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Very
thanks.
Cool.
Ratsod Review.
SeverAngel.com. SeverAngel.com.
Skyward drops Friday. Buy it.
Yeah, please buy it. We're poor.
Here comes
we
the
money.
Suns on all the major platforms, iTunes, Amazon. Go to our webpage, imagesofeden.com, and everything's there as well.
And if you like that, check out their cover of Triumph's Fight the Good Fight, approved by Triumph themselves.
Yes,
there
it was.
You go.
That was pretty cool, actually.
Very cool. All right, guys. Yeah, until awesome. Then.
Have a good night, guys.
Week,
appreciate it, man.
We will see
thank you
next
much.
Week.
Awesome.
All right.
Be good.
Bye-bye.